Well, how many of you this morning would say, I'm ready for spring? Yeah. It's not yet spring, is it? Even though the calendar said it was, it's not yet. How many of you would say, I'm ready for school to be out? Yeah. Maybe it's a little too early for that. Maybe a few. Okay, very good. How many of you would say, I'm ready for a new and better government? Hey, oh boy. Why, some people just about jumped out of their seat on that one. And by the way, shut the recorder off. There goes our tax exemption license, right? How many of you would say, I'm ready for a new and better body? Yeah, not bad. Okay, what if I said to you, okay, you can have a new and better body, but you are not ready? What would you think about that? The next question might be, well, what must I do to be ready? But that's the wrong question. Rather, we should be asking the question, what has Christ done on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday to make us ready, to disarm our doubts, and to enliven us with faith to believe? My friends, today I want to remind you from our gospel reading how incapable we are to be ready for the bodily resurrection of the dead. How incapable we are. And for proof, I'm going to point to the 11 disciples and to the women who first came that Easter morn. What were those women bringing that first Easter morn? You remember? Spices, right? Now, these spices were not for cooking, were they? No, what were the spices for? For embalming. Oh yeah, these people were ready, all right, ready to embalm the dead body of Jesus. But they weren't ready to praise the risen Lord of life. And where were the 11? They were NWTBF. You know what that stands for? Nowhere to be found. Why not? Had not Jesus told them that he would suffer and die and rise again? He did, multiple times. And yet, where were the disciples? Weren't they just there waiting at the tomb, ready for him to rise? The problem for them, I would suggest, is the same problem for us that we face today. As is, by nature, we, because of sin, cannot and do not believe naturally in the bodily resurrection of the dead. We do believe in two other absolute truths, April 15 and death. If you don't believe in April 15, I dare you to ignore it for a few years. And if anyone doesn't believe in death, well, there's other people before you who also didn't believe in death. You show me a GPS, and I'll show you their graveyard. Sin blinds us, such that all that we can see by nature is the certainty of death. And so we adopt natural philosophies, contrary to the evidence and contrary to the sacred messengers of God. We give into the fear of being foolish rather than to live our lives by faith in His Word, faith in Jesus' Word, and the risen reality that He suggests. And that fear spills over into our lives, into our relationships. Living without faith, what compels us to forgive our neighbor? Living without faith, why should we reconcile with our loved ones? Living without faith, do we really need to forgive? Do we really need to love God above all else and want His kingdom to come? Do we really and do we have to love our neighbors as ourselves without faith? No. Living without faith, we don't really need to be ready, nor repentant, nor rejoicing in our God. But the good news is found in God's Word. What does Scripture say? When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And what's the key words there? When the fullness of time had come. It doesn't say when God's people were good and ready, but rather when the fullness of time had come. A theme in the Bible, I would suggest, from beginning to end, might simply be, ready or not, the I am comes. Moses, was he out in the wilderness looking for God when God came to him? St. Paul, was he looking for Jesus? No, he was an enemy of Jesus and an enemy of the church when God came to him. The scripture says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Well, it might as well say, there is no one ready, no, not one. Not Abraham, not Andrew, not Zechariah, not Zephaniah. Not the 11, NWTBF, nowhere to be found. And not the women that morning who brought spices to the tomb. I like the question that those two men in the tomb asked those women that morning. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In other words, why are you, of all people, why are you not ready for the bodily resurrection of Jesus? And I'll tell you why. Because even though they knew Jesus best of all, they had not fully grasped the hidden God behind the human suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And with such knowledge, you realize something that God's Word said all along. The wages of sin is death. We all die. But God reveals His love in this. He sent forth His Son to redeem those under the law. Those who will die, that's us, by nature, we know it. That they would perceive the grace of God. That God loves us that much that He'd send His very own Son to die for you and for me. This is God's grace, His love revealed in all of its fullness and all of its glory, and yet they had not yet grasped that truth. But with the open tomb, and with the men in the dazzling white apparel, and the missing body, and having been pointed back to the things that Jesus said, they began to believe and understand the grace of God. And with that, they were no longer as is, but now they were ready, ready to think, ready to remember all that God had spoken to them by His holy, sacred messengers, even Jesus. They were ready to hear new things in a new way. They were ready to hear God say, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and I am making all things new. I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I die so that you might rise and have life and have it abundantly." And because they had seen the proof of the risen Jesus in the body, they were ready to believe what Jesus had said fully just days before. "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection." You know, it's one thing to say, "I know archery," or "I know a little bit about golf. I'm passionate about it." I'm not personally, by the way. It's another thing to say, "I am archery. I am golf." So which would you rather hear Jesus say? "I know a little bit about resurrections. Seen one here or there. I think I could model for you on the computer what a resurrection looks like. I've got some great technology over here. Let me model it for you so you can see it. It's, you know, theoretically all perfect." Or would you rather hear Him say, "I am the resurrection"? Not a resurrection. "I am the resurrection." It shows more than competency. and more than passion when he goes and he does it. It shows that his word is true. And that the I am of old in the Old Testament is the I am that is in Christ Jesus, and Jesus is in the I am. Lastly today, I want to remind you of what you really need to remember most on Easter Sunday. You did not make yourselves ready for the resurrection of the body. No one can. But God, through the gospel, through the gifts that he gives, revealing himself, his words, and his very resurrection from the dead, has given you that faith in your baptism and by the hearing of the word to make you, by his Spirit which dwells in you, a people who are ready to believe fully when Jesus says, I am the resurrection. God has made it possible through the gospel for you and for me to believe in the resurrection of the body. And that's why you're here. And that's why we have faith and hope for tomorrow. And as such, we have, as God's people, this confidence to say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. We better try that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the living one. Amen.